This is the April 9th edition of Ghostly Talk. On today's show, we're going to hear from King Fowley of the metal band Deceased, Brian of Ghost Hunters and Taps, he was in Ghost Hunters Season 1 and 2, and Dylan, Corey, and Jason from Loose Change 9/11. So sit back, we're in for a ride. As you've guessed, it's April 9th, 4 days from a full moon. That ought to be exciting. And this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And Scott L. is not in studio today. He's missing. We can only assume that he's out doing, you know, very important things. And we will find out about that when he joins us, though. He has promised to join us. Very exciting show today. I'm very, very ecstatic to be able to get King Fowley on, Brian of Ghost Hunters and Taps, and the Loose Change 9/11 folks on. They'll be coming up. Ghostly Talk is broadcast live on Sunday nights from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time from the beautiful Warren area, Warren Winery. And here at the Haunted Warren Winery, it is an absolutely perfect spring day. I was pretty impressed. So we'll see if that holds out. They say it's going to get better and better through the week.
Yeah.
I can't.
Upper 60s, but thunderstorms, though.
Oh, well.
That's fun, though. That's fun.
April showers bring May flowers. And unlike last April, where it was April snow showers, that ought to be.
we had that last week.
Oh, we did. We did indeed. And that was a lot of fun and very interesting. I don't know why they let that happen still in these days and ages when they can control weather with HARP. Oops. I don't think I'm supposed to get all controversial yet.
That's our last guess.
That's coming up with the Loose Change 9/11 folks. Ghostly Talk is broadcast every single Sunday that we're on anyway, which is most Sundays, on Pioneer Radio at pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O.net. That's our home. That's where we belong. That's where they don't yell at us for what we do.
Corporate.
I like that. Also, of course, Omnisound Radio 1. Where would we be without Omnisound? I have to say Jeff and Omnisound have been there through good times and bad, and we're hoping for good the rest of this season. Radio New York International has been there since, I think, day one. Thank you, RN, 11LRNI. KWTF The Edge, home of the Classic Metal Show. Riff Raff Radio, The Point, 99.1 FM. The Butt Broadcasting Group. Robin Valley Community Radio, which, by the way, is AM 1690?
Sounds right.
I'd have to look that up. But Robin Valley, I really, really like these guys because they have it's a community radio. And under the Low Power FM Act. That is something that we cannot get here in the Detroit metro area. We cannot broadcast a station under LPFM here.
Yet, maybe? They'll never do it?
They'll never do it. And that's because we're so close to the international border.
Oh.
And they will not let us. Nobody can do it. It's just there are no licenses available. You go to the licensing thing, and pretty much almost all of Michigan is covered under that.
Well, we border Canada and pretty much everywhere.
Yeah. And
our entire east side.
And north.
Yeah.
Well, except for that little Lake Superior thing going on. But, you know, it's still the other side of Lake Superior is Canada. So we are LPFM licenseless. Can't do it here. So kudos to you, Robin Valley Community Radio, and thank you for listening. ADD Underground, that slacking radio out there. Catnip Radio, Bazoo, BZOO, Homegrown Radio, Blogging Service, and Radio Enigma. So you can hear us through all those different means and more, because I know that Omnisound Radio is picked up. That feed is picked up by a lot of others. And if you do broadcast Ghostly Talk somehow, some way, for some reason, give us a jingle. Just drop us an email at ghostlytalk, ghostlytalk@ghostlytalk.com. Our own website is www.ghostlytalk.com. I haven't been there. Bizarrely, I mean, I'm usually there a lot, but I haven't been there for the past couple of days.
Me neither.
I don't know why. It's just been, my schedule's been way mixed up.
I've just been lazy.
Well, that's honest. I like honesty. But no, my schedule's been absolutely freaky lately, but I do know that there's all kinds of wonderful people in the chat, and well, it's not chat room, it's a little shout box there. There's always new posts in the forums, go there, read up. I know I will be catching up shortly within the next day or two. So, we've got some time without Scott L. We get to do whatever we want for a change.
Dead air. I'm just kidding.
Dead air. I like that idea. Okay. Let's do it. No, actually, I was hoping to talk about a couple of different things. One of the things is podcasting. Do you download any podcasts?
I don't have an iPod.
Well, you don't have to have an iPod, because all podcasting is really a file distribution mechanism.
The only ones that I really pay attention to, haven't done as too lately, is Mr. Poos.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Who was a guest on our show back, oh, gosh.
That was a long time ago now, yeah.
But yeah, it was a year ago.
But it was a little bit less than a year ago, I think, because it was summer by then. Weren't we doing our traveling when we first heard your...
Yeah, we were traveling, and it was before we made the move here.
Oh, it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
We were still in the Haunted Basement Studios?
Yes, yeah,
that
we were.
Quite a time ago. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think when we talked to him, we were at the Haunted Basement Studios, so...
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a while ago. Mr. Poos's podcast is still up and working. I verified that last week, I believe it was. You know who's doing podcasting as well, other than Ghostly Talk? Full Ooh. Moon Radio.
Ah, yes.
So, if you are subscribed to Ghostly Talk's podcast for some reason, also pop into, when you're in iTunes... search for Full Moon Radio and subscribe to that one as well, because Full Moon Radio follows Ghostly Talk on Pioneer and, I believe, on Omnisound.
Yes, it does.
So, and you can have it delivered directly to your computer. What you do with podcasting, and I really want people to get into this because it really does rock. It just so happens that I have an iPod now, but I didn't a while ago, but I still downloaded podcasts because I had a generic MP3 player. And I would download them to my generic MP3 player, and then I would listen to them on that. Well, with an iPod, it's a little bit different because it's a lot easier, first of all, but there's a lot more space available on the iPod. So I don't delete them as often. Well, I haven't deleted one yet, but you get the idea. Even if you listen to it on your computer. Because all it is, a podcast, is transmitting a file to you. You subscribe to this file, and it comes down. Any new versions come down. It just comes down to your computer when you run your They call it a podcatcher. So you'll want to get into it if possible, because it's really, really a great way of getting content from the wilds of the internet into your computer, and content hopefully that you want and will want to hear and pay attention to. Oh no, I see you just went to paranormalnews.com.
Yeah.
Fishing for ideas?
Just a little bit.
First, why don't we talk a little bit about the upcoming... Well, first of all, why didn't we go ghost hunting? I wanted to go 2 weekends ago, right?
Right.
But nobody had contacted anybody. It was all a mess, right? So nothing happened. That was fine. But then yesterday, I wanted to go again. But nobody had what's up?
You should have called me. I was just kind of sitting around.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I was just lazy. I didn't do anything, like, all weekend.
Oh, wow.
I didn't do anything until about 4:45 today.
Were you comatose? Yeah.
Mentally, yeah. I wasn't sleeping, but I was mentally just gone.
Wow. That's insane. But, you know, hey, it happens. It happens to me sometimes. But not this weekend. This weekend I actually did some work. I know that last weekend I geeked out all weekend. And I worked on LVM? Logical Volume Manager in Linux. That was a treat. But it was geeky, but it was fun, and it really did. I learned a lot. It was pretty cool. It's definitely, how can I put this lightly? It's definitely not as easy as AIX's Logical Volume Manager. And it's definitely better than Solaris's Logical Volume Manager. So it's somewhere in between. It's actually more closer to as bad as the Solaris LVM. But you don't really care, do you?
Not really, no. Okay. Not at all. Not at all. I'll just let you go.
Okay, all right.
But, you know, there is something that's been really big in the news this week.
What?
It's all over CNN, all over the news wires.
Then I probably haven't heard about it.
The Gospel of Judas.
The Gospel of Judas. Oh, enlighten me. What's been going on?
Well, back in like 180 AD, there was this Gospel of Judas that was banished from the church because they said it was a heresy, it was blasphemy, but it was written, you know, basically by Judas or someone close to Judas. And it says, well, it was found in 1970, and it's been basically hidden since then.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they basically just came out with it, translated, whole nine yards. And what it says is that Judas was actually Jesus' chosen disciple, and that Jesus told him to turn him in, and that he would be hated by, you know, all of mankind forever because of what he was going to do,
mm-hmm.
what Jesus wanted him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that Judas wasn't the backstabber that everyone, you know, has made him out to be. He was actually told to do this by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's causing this huge commotion throughout the religious communities.
Are these authenticated, these writings?
Yes, they were authenticated.
Okay, who authenticated them?
I have no clue.
Okay.
But it's been all over the news.
So some guy named Ray authenticated.
Well, they carbon dated back to that time.
Okay. Well, carbon dating is fraught with errors, but that's okay. It gives you at least a guideline. I take it the church is not at all happy.
Very errors. It's pretty crazy right now, actually.
Why do you think this came out now? After all, it is it's 2006, right? It's April. This is the month of, you know, the Christians and Catholics, all that. They have that Easter stuff going on, right?
Right.
And Lent and all that. Well, and I know this because I see all the Lenten specials on the menus everywhere. I also participate in Fat Tuesday celebrations by eating as many punchkis as possible. But no, tell me, what is there an advantage of any kind to bring this information, questionable or authenticated, to light right now?
It's to bring more people to the church at this time, during the Easter season.
To bring more people to the church. So by creating a controversy...
Because the priests and the pastors are going to be talking about it.
Okay.
Or it could push people away from the church, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's I was initially thinking that more people would be questioning the church than, you know, and stuff. And therefore, well, I don't think people go to church because of controversy. I think they go to church because of spiritual fulfillment, because of fear, and for some other reasons. But I think that I don't think people go to church because they heard this latest controversy. But maybe they do. I don't know. I'm not a church. But is there you're right. Text may be hidden, Gospel of Judas. And it is indeed on CNN.com.
Yeah, it's been all over. All week.
And who's talking about it?
Let's see. Who's the one that came up with it? The text is in a Coptic language dated to about the year 300 A.D. and is a copy of an earlier Greek version.
Hmm. The Gospel of Judas. Okay. Well, this will be interesting. I will definitely tune into that and see what's happened. Because I just, whenever I see things like this happen, I immediately don't think, ooh, what does that mean to me? I always think, ooh, I wonder what's going on. I wonder why they're doing this and why they're doing this now. And if you'll notice, my questions were pretty much exactly that.
Yeah.
I walk into the wrong show or something here. I come walking in and all I hear about is we're going to church next Sunday. And I'm like, okay, what studio am I? Oh, I'm in the wrong studio. I have to go down the hall. We've moved or something like that. What have I missed so far?
Well, Will decided to throw me a slam bang dunk kind of thing and say, look, they found the hidden Gospel of Judas.
Really?
This week.
This week, huh?
Yeah.
They didn't find it this week. They came out with it this week.
Oh, I'm sorry. They found it in the 1970s or something.
So what's down with Judas then? What's going on with him?
He wasn't, even though everybody hates him and stuff because he went and, you know, betrayed Jesus.
Well, et cetera.
This says that Jesus asked him to do all that. It was a setup.
It was a setup.
Yeah.
And Jesus told him that he would be hated for all of eternity, basically.
Oh, okay. I don't know what to say about that, honestly.
Okay,
I haven't read the article. I don't know. You know, I mean,
well, I don't know either. That's why I immediately started asking questions. Who would benefit from this kind of stuff coming out now?
Well, absolutely, the Catholic Church would benefit in threefold. I mean, there'd be so many people. I mean, obviously, I think I heard that when I was just getting myself ready here for a second. That it turns a lot of our heads towards the Catholic Church at this time of year, which is it's very important to them. Obviously.
With the controversy, though. Why would the Catholic Church want a controversy?
Because controversy, like we've learned over the last 4 years of doing the show, that controversy will bring more attention than non-controversy, in the simplest terms. I mean, it's a lot more complex than that for reasons we'll never understand. But controversy always brings more people to the... I mean, it just makes more people... It turns their attention a lot easier than going, we found Judas's stuff and it was really cool. Or we found Judas' stuff,
and everything you heard was true.
Everything you've heard was there's a huge spin. We found Judas' stuff, and we found the first ever Playboy in this box. We found. I mean, I'm kidding around, but in all seriousness, I mean, there has to be that twist to it, that exaggeration, right?
Right.
Not exaggeration, but something that's going to be like really otherworldly. Like, wow, okay, we found something that hasn't been seen for the better part of 2,000 years now. So that's pretty huge, right? That's going to turn a lot of heads towards the church. Of course, at this time of year, why not? They probably found it 10 years ago, or they probably found it, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say. They probably found it like 70s
or 80s.
They probably found it like 10 months ago and said, let's wait till next Easter to release the press release, because it'll be right around Easter, of course. That's what I would say as far as a media standpoint goes for something like that. You know, other than that, I haven't read the article. I don't know. What's going on with that?
I haven't. It is on CNN.
It's on CNN? Okay.
So it's reported by supposedly respectable outlets.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'll keep my opinion to myself on that, but hey, that's all right.
Well, I hadn't heard about it. I guess I wasn't listening to the news.
I don't listen to the news.
So, now that I have an iPod, I don't listen to it.
What have we covered so far? I missed like the first 10 minutes here.
Almost everything?
Okay, cool.
There was the one thing that I couldn't wait for you to get in to talk about.
What's that?
because you do realize that it is getting closer and closer and closer to May 13th and 14th.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and that's a hell of a segue. I wrecked it again. I had to. It's like instinctual. It's like primordial. It's in our genes. It's in our blood now. Like, we have to blow every good segue we do on this show. So I just blew the segue. Cool.
That's awesome.
No, yeah,
that worked out really well.
It worked out very well. Yeah, very good job. Nice job.
But yes, May 13th and 14th, we will be attending the CPRI, the very first.
Yeah, first annual.
Mm-hmm. Annual CPRI conference.
Yeah, and that's for us.
Oh, because this is an exciting event.
Absolutely, a great time.
We're in Virginia,
mm-hmm.
13th and 14th, and we're going to be speaking there on May 14th.
May 14th, yeah, we're going to be speaking again. We say it every week, and it just blows us away. Grant even was, oh, man, wow. Yeah, we're speaking from 12:30 to 1:30 in the afternoon, during lunch, of course. You know, so everybody will be at lunch while we're talking, probably.
Right.
But we'll be doing our, we'll be speaking on May 14th there from 12:30 to
1:30. Maybe we could just do an arts and crafts event. We have an hour.
Maybe we'll just go to Little Caesars and buy a big stack of pizzas.
Oh,
I
like
say,
that.
Free lunch here if you listen to us talk. And we'll pack the place, you know. We'll pack the place completely.
That could work. That really, really
just
could
like,
work.
Yeah, we'll just, yeah. We'll like, well, I don't know if they have Little Caesars down there. So, you know, worst case scenario, we'll fly them in.
Okay.
Like in the, those metal, like,
We can borrow
bags.
Some of the gear from Grimstone.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
they've got those environmentally controlled chambers.
Yeah.
In
exactly.
their helicopter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we'll just, you know, throw some in the environmentally controlled chambers and we'll environmentally control it so that
it's
still warm.
Yeah,
when
it's warm.
There,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like the Amazon in there, and they'll still. Yeah, I think that might work actually for us. But a lot of people are going to be there. John Zaffis is going to be there, friend of the show here, really great guy. We've had him on before. Mark Nesbitt, another person we've had on. Who's
absolutely
really cool.
Phenomenal.
Ghost of
we went to Ghost of Gettysburg and
oh,
we had a
what,
blast.
What a ball! Yeah, and I mean Mark Nesbitt is just an absolute dynamite guy. We can't wait to go and hang out with him again. It's going to be totally fun. But yeah, May 13th and 14th that weekend we're going to be down there. We're not going to broadcast. Now there's, I still have to sit down with Bobby. There might be some talks. Might do something.
It says on the website that we could do a live broadcast from there.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, maybe we'll do a live broadcast. What they put that on the
website.
They were doing a live
broadcast. It was in the advertisement email too.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we have to now.
So we better bring the gear.
I guess we better bring the gear. Or we're gonna
we could always, if there is no internet, we could just tape it.
Well, yeah, that's what I told Bobby.
Live, it'll be a podcast.
That's what I told Bobby. I'm like, worst case scenario, we tape a show, we tape some interviews and some fun stuff like that.
That's true.
And we put it up like any other archive for people to listen to. You know, it just won't be live.
That's Garrett, true.
We'll find out though in advance, of course. And myself and Bobby have talked about this. We're working on that as we speak. That'll be something we resolve, so we'll know if we have a connection down there to work with.
Right.
I'm pretty sure we do actually.
All right.
It's very favorable. So
we'll have to get with Pioneer. And Omnisound.
Oh, yeah. All of our buddies.
All the others.
All of our buddies. Thanks again to everybody that helped us out this past Tuesday when we were experimenting.
If you haven't
heard that monster, I mean, that wonderful piece of audio that we decided to put up on the site, we were just testing the system, trying things, seeing what we could do with it, and everything seemed to be very good. So we're hoping this week's show doesn't get garbled up at all, hopefully.
So far, it sounds crystal clear in the headphones.
Well, yeah, everything's fine in the headphones. Yeah, it sounded fine in the headphones last week, and then when we pulled the archive down.
That's
when the problems occurred. So in the chat room, our friends in there, please, if you're hearing any buffering or weird stuff like that, let Will know right away so we can try to compensate and help you guys out in any way possible.
And we are indeed in the Omnisound Radio chat. So
yes, we do.
Omnisoundradio1.net.
You know, and there's been a lot of chatter on the website about that too, and I want to address that. There's been, and I feel kind of bad because I don't want to make this sound bad either. It has the appearance like we've abandoned the IRC chat room at Pioneer, and it has.
Well, this week we certainly have because we're not even in it now.
Well, you know, I don't want people to think that, you know, Pioneer is still our flagship station. Those are the people. Jeff has been around forever helping us out.
Yeah,
and we don't want to make that impression at all that, you know, Pioneer is still number one on our list.
We're going in right now to see if anybody happens to be there. But
oh, in the IRC,
I do have to say that. The vast majority of people on the website do agree that the Omnisound Radio 1 chat, there's nobody in there but X.
Really?
X is the only person in there.
Well, it seems like the Omnisound one's a little bit easier to use for some people.
Well, that's
people.
It. Everybody
but I hear other people saying the same thing, that, well, they can't use the Omnisound one either. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to put it right down the middle. I've seen a lot more people that seem like they're latching onto the Omnisound room then. I mean, the IRC thing's cool, but it's always been, I don't think it's been something people can really understand very easily. It's
right.
Kinda, it's still kind of it's an old school system, which, yep. I mean, I like it personally, but people that are new to the internet or new to this sort of thing, you know, it's a little easier just to go into this Flash chat setup that they have set up an Omnisound, which pretty much does everything for you.
Right.
I don't even think you have to log
into it. Turn the sounds off if you're broadcasting.
Turn the sounds off.
If you're a broadcaster and you're using your computer to, you know, play your bumpers and stuff,
yeah.
Turn off the sounds in the Omnisound chat room. All kinds of cool noises.
What do we got going on this week? Why do I ask myself that?
I already talked about it, but you know what?
Well,
I want to refresh your memory because this is like really...
Please, yeah.
This is really, really exciting.
Okay, cool.
We have... Let me get my little notes. I have a cheat sheet.
I already have mine out.
We have King Fowley.
King Fowley, man. Now... the people that are in the know.
King Fowley.
King
Abu Badab. No.
People
other
who
Fowley.
Are in the know of King Fowley know that he has been around for so many years in the heavy music community.
They started to see some, like, what, 1985 or
no,
something?
No, before
or?
That, like 1982.
Oh, wow, okay.
And they've been an independent band forever. And I've been kind of in correspondence with these guys for a while. And King Fowley, who is kind of the leader of that band, he used to be the drummer and singer of the band. He used to sing and drum, which is hard to do.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
I don't know if we want to do that.
You just put it in?
No. Hang on.
Yeah, we're getting a live call. This will be exciting.
Yeah, what's happening?
After King Fowley, of course, is going to be Brian of Ghost Hunters and Taps. And then after that, the List Change 9/11 folks. So that's who will be making the show.
No, no problem.
Can you hear that?
Oh, no, it's me. It's Scott.
You probably should take him out of channel.
No, we'll talk later on, though, for sure. We'll talk about that, okay?
Out of channel?
Yeah,
out of channel?
It's funnier this way.
It is a lot funnier this way, yes. But
no, it was actually Robert from KWTF talking about the chat they have over there, too.
Oh, really?
He asked us about working on setting up a chat for us, a chat for us. A ghost in the chat there. So, I mean, I was on the air. I'm like, I got to run right now, but, you know, we'll talk. Thanks, Robert. We'll talk. Seriously. Hit
hey,
me up tomorrow.
I really like that idea because KWTF, KWTF The Edge. Right?
Yeah, that's the guy's
home of the classic metal show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That would be really, really interesting.
Yeah, it? Very cool. We'll talk about that more tomorrow, Robert. He's probably listening.
I think that's a phenomenal idea.
But no, King Fowley's coming on.
King Fowley?
He's like, I got a bunch of ghost stories to tell. I got some stuff I want to talk about. And I'm like, all right.
That's kind of what I tried to get out of. Like, for example, when we had, all right, who is the guy who does the independent film critic?
Talking about Henry Rollins?
Yes, when we had Henry Rollins on, I wanted to know some ghost stories, because he's been all over the world, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, he must have heard stuff, you know. Mm. But there was little, you know.
Mm.
But then there, but he did, I mean, when, you know, he talked about, like, being in... You know, you walk into some of these ancient monuments, like the, you know, the pyramids and stuff like that, or some of the shrines, and just being there, you get this sense of
you get
of
this
awe,
aura, yeah, know? This sense.
So he feels that, but no ghost stories. But then, we talk to, who do we talk to? The, oh my gosh. You've brought on so
remember.
Many interesting
I
people.
I can't remember half of them anymore.
And some of them have heard the local legends, you know, because like, if you're out there part, you know, after, you know,
well,
before and after, and you're
the thing with the guys
local.
From Deceased, though, is that, you know, they a lot of the music they've written in the past has been written around the supernatural and things like that. And King, those guys have always had a big interest in it. So it's natural that these guys are like,
so
hey,
they'll,
man, cool.
There, they'll be sitting there talking about this stuff.
Well, yeah,
it's
we'll
not
see what happens.
Like a sideline sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go. I mean, I've never really, I've been back and forth on the email with King, and he's a very cool guy. And I mean, I love Deceased also, but I mean, we're just gonna see how this thing goes in the next half.
I can't wait. This is gonna be awesome.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Brian, the tech manager from Taps.
Yeah,
and he was on, I think, seasons 1 and 2 of Ghost Hunters.
Well, he's back now too.
Okay,
he's back now, from what I understand. Yeah, I mean, there's all I don't know all the chatter and stuff like that, and I watch as much as possible. But I understand there was some kind of drama. I don't know if we're gonna talk to him. About
I was thinking of getting a. one of them TiVo kinds of things. Oh, yeah, we have to hurry. Okay, never mind. Anyway, and then also...
Last hour,
we're going to talk Dylan, Corey, and Jason of Loose Change 9/11.
Yeah, they're the creators of Loose Change 9/11.
You saw that, right?
I have not seen it.
What?
I have not had a chance. It's been too crazy.
I stay here in the Haunted Warren Winery.
Yeah, while I was archiving, the show that night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Thank you. Yeah. You enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
I did. I had a great time.
But I do have, I'm sure that, regardless of the fact that I haven't seen it, which I will see it, And there's been times where I've seen something and you haven't seen it either. So
there's a lot of times.
Yeah, so it's cool. I think we all have a lot of opinions on 9/11. You know, I don't think we've really done a show. As far as like a segment of a show that was really focused on this topic, we've talked about it here and there. But Will really wanted to have these guys come on. He bought their video and found it really interesting. So, hey.
And I agree. Sure. I watched it, and I agree. We need to talk to these folks.
Well, let me take a quick break. Next half an hour, King Fowley from Deceased is coming on. Actually, I think I have some Deceased music that's going to be played also, so you get a taste of the insanity we're about to face in the next half an hour.
Woo!
Right here on Ghostly Talk. We'll be right back.
If you want to find me with regard to Mars and time travel, you can go to www.doortoatlantis.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
is Dr. Andrew Nichols with www.parapsychologylab.com. You're listening to Ghostly Talk Radio.
Hello, boys. Guess who?
Here we go. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
And we have, should I slaughter this? Or you know what? I want to hear you read
it,
Doug. Because, I wouldn't be like, yeah, all right. But, you know, you're more, you're more cool about things.
Yeah,
like
this looks, we'll still slaughter. We're not good at intros. Nobody's ever heard this show before. But we're going to intro you, okay, King Fowling?
All right, no problem.
Listen to this. See if we really slaughter it. King Fowley, a very popular personality in the metal music community, formed Deceased back in 1985. Deceased became the first band to sign to the now legendary Relapse record label in 1990. Over 20 years together... slaughtered it.
You killed it.
Over 20 years together, the band that put Relapse Records on the worldwide map is still going strong. Deceased's new album... As the Weird Travel On, their first since leaving Relapse in 2003, is further proof that the old school and the supernatural are still very much alive in heavy independent music today, despite the industry's attempts to sidetrack it.
Yes, I'd like to welcome King Fowley to the show. King, how you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. It's a good Sunday evening here in Virginia. Everything's fun. Everything's dandy.
You know, and during the break, of course, I'm talking to King Fowley from Deceased. I'm like, there's some weeks and then there's some weeks, right? And this is one of those weeks where I'm like, whoa, this is so cool, man. King, first off, actually, what's going on is that Deceased is playing here in Detroit.
I don't think we've been in Detroit at all ever, maybe. I don't even remember if we ever played.
I think the closest.
I know we played in Michigan, but I don't think we ever played in Detroit.
You're going to be playing in Hamtramck.
Okay, well then we still have never played in Detroit. Let's speak alive.
But you're like a mile away from Detroit though, so maybe we'll push you guys across the border or something.
There you go.
Like,
yeah, we'll put stage on wheels and we'll end in Detroit.
Hamtramck is like completely wholly surrounded by.
Yeah,
Detroit.
it's like
so you cannot surrounded. Unless you come in by helicopter, you cannot.
Yeah, you can't avoid it
without going
helicopter.
To Detroit.
Yeah, that's
right. One thing. It's going to be a great show, though. The guy, Scooter, who's putting on the Malt Soda Bash is a great friend of ours, and it's going to be just a fun time. It's going to be like a little punk metal thing get together, and it's going to be a lot of speed and fun and just a good night for the whole music scene in general.
I'm going to be down there. I don't know if the other guys can handle it, but I'm going to be down there, King, hanging out. I'll be the chunky guy wearing the Ghostly Talk t-shirt, jumping up and down.
I'll write that down. Take a note.
But
chunky guy and Ghostly Talk.
Shirt. There you go. Exactly. I'm not hard to miss. Trust me.
All right.
Now, the one thing I've always noticed with you guys is music, and this is the reason we kind of talked about having you come on the show and talk about these things, was a lot of the albums you've put out, they've really had a motif, a story. A lot of your albums, there's a lot of stories wound up in your music, I've always noticed, throughout the years. And
right.
a lot of the stuff is supernaturally based. You guys talk about a lot of ghost apparitions, zombies, all kinds of wild stuff. I mean, there's got to be somewhere where that inspiration came from. I'm just curious about that, where you guys want to take that direction with your music.
Well, basically, when the band first started back in, the 20-plus years ago, it was obviously just Armageddon and whatever we were thinking of when we were 16 years old, which, at that time was just whatever came into your mind from gore and guts and all that stuff. And slowly, I kind of wanted to start getting the lyrics to, become more important to us and not just make words rhyme off each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started taking things that were in my mind, which has always been, I've always had a morbid side. I'm a real fun and happy kind of guy, but there's a lot of morbid things going on in my head all the time. And, I grew up with some stuff. I lost my father when I was very young, and he was very young, too. He was 28 years old and lost cancer. And my mom kind of grew me up, and it kind of always stayed with me for some reason. Something with my father's death or something kind of got me to the morbid stuff, which brought the Deceased name. And then from there, just kind of took this, things around it. Because a lot of things to me with death metal have always been there. A lot of bands they come out and they just, they, you know, it's just blah, blah, blah. It's noisy and stuff, but it never really gives me that feeling, that aura of actually like a morbid song, you know, a sound, and just getting, putting me in a visionary and, you know, both, you know, just listening wise. It doesn't put me in a place of dread and, you know, fear and that kind of stuff.
Well,
and I wanted us to get there, and that's why I kind of put the lyrics there more and more, and kind of took an Edgar Allan Poe kind of like, you know, the guy looking from the outside in, and then the guy looking from the in to the outside.
Well, the darkness is definitely there. We all know that. I mean, this is the seas we're talking about, and you're right. There are, you know, I mean, coming from me, which I'm kind of in the mix like you are, King. I mean, there's millions of bands coming out every day, and they all do. I mean, especially within that vein of, like, you know, death metal or whatever. A lot of them, they just come out, and it's like, you know, bleh, you know. But Deceased is always, you've always, and you're the singer, King. You sing the songs, and you've always sounded like this person, and a lot of the, well, especially the newer stuff, where it's been this person who is just being tortured the whole way through the album. You
exactly.
Have, yeah.
Hopefully, I'm not the person that's torturing everybody listening to the album.
No, it has that
no,
feel. It has that feel.
No, definitely. It's like I said, I, for some reason, I've always just been pictured myself as like the Edgar Allan Poe, like this guy that, like, think you know, you know, he doesn't know if he knows it all or he knows nothing, and I'm kind of like just like the guy that's always like at the end of the rope hanging there, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah,
I don't like to have happy endings at all. I like everything to end with a turn of the screw and, you know, the left side of the road, I call it. And it's just odd to me how it all like fell into place through the years. The music has slowly gotten to where I want it to be. You know, the band, we all create the music and stuff, and I'll put the lyrics together. It just seems to go together so well now. I'm very proud that Deceased has come this far.
Well, you should be proud for the latest album that Doug mentioned, as The Weird Travel On. You guys just get better and better, in my opinion, every album.
We're very happy about the sound and the production, and just, you know, that I'm truly blessed that the band waited for me through all my health crisis and stuff to get through that, to get back to what we did, and we didn't lose anything, you know, with the time off and stuff, and we came back stronger than ever.
No, you guys didn't lose a thing. Again, I'll tell you
that.
As a fan, you guys, this last album was absolutely crushing.
Thanks a lot. We really do appreciate it.
No, totally cool. And now, the thing is, though, too, you know, we were talking about, you know, kind of like how the music comes together and that how they have some inspired. You said there's been some things that have happened in your life, especially.
Yeah, there's been some really strange stuff growing. All my life, it seems like every few years I've had some odd stories, and just some of the stuff, like, first thing that ever happened really wasn't with me, but it was more my mother, and we just always used to talk about this. Me and my mom used to go a lot. Obviously, as I said, my dad died when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
I had a brother and a sister, but mainly me and my mom used to like to go to the drive-ins and see all the horror movies growing up. You know, as I got older, she loved it and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And we just started talking about things, horror and death and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And one day she sat me down and she told me this stuff about my father, that when he was sick with cancer and he was dying, that his uncle, his favorite uncle, got sick and got gangrene and ended up dying from some kind of I don't know exactly what he died from, but he had, like, you know, a lot of problems at the end, and they didn't want to tell my father because he was obviously sick too.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom got a call and that my dad was like on his deathbed, and that, you know, and she went right back to the hospital where he'd been staying for this cancer, and he was slowly killing him. And they told her that he wouldn't make it to the morning, so she went to be by him when he died.
Mm-hmm.
And he passed away. And then my mom said she was like sitting down, and they were telling her to leave the room and stuff. And then he came back. My father came back from the dead, and he was alive. And then he told my mother that he had seen his uncle, and that his uncle had no legs, and he wanted to know why she never told him about the gangrene and stuff, and that he had visited, like, to, I guess, what she considered to be heaven or wherever the beyond, and that he had seen his uncle, and his uncle had his legs back. And my mom just told me, she said this was the first thing that ever convinced her that there was something, you know, beyond this world, because there was no way he would have known this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just looked at my mom and told her that, and then passed on.
Okay, so he came. Well, he, like, so clinically speaking, he passed away. Your mom said.
Yes, he was. My mom said he was dead for about 2 or 3 minutes. He had passed away. They were just basically bringing, you know, letting her sit there for a minute or two, and then they kind of were coming in. And this, how they do things, they bring a bag,
body,
and all that kind of stuff.
But then he came back alive.
He came back alive.
Yeah.
And they were. It was the weirdest damn thing. She said it scared the hell out of her. And then the first thing he said to her was with basically a whole mouthful of breath from someone that's dying from cancer or died from cancer,
mm-hmm.
was that his uncle was, he just saw his uncle, and his uncle had his legs back. And
oh.
It was his favorite uncle, and he wanted to know why he never knew that he had died or was been sick and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
she told him why, because he was sick himself, and she didn't want to put any more, you know, strain on him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it was crazy, and that was the first thing that got me into all that, and it kind of made me thinking. This, I was probably about maybe 12 or 13 when she told me that, and
mm-hmm.
it just made me start digging into it myself, and then I just started, like, always having this, like, little bit, like, I always think, like, out of the corner of my eye, I'm seeing things, and out of the corner of my mind, I'm feeling things, so it's just kind of got with me from there.
You know, a lot of people say that too, King. You know, we've been talking about that a lot lately on the show. Is, well, for example, shadow people. Doug, that's one of Doug's favorite subjects.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I remember when, right around your age, maybe younger too, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago, is when I used to have those episodes where I'd be sitting in the living room watching cartoons or something, and I'd look to my, like, I feel something looking at, like, the right side of my head, right?
Right.
And when I turn real quick to see, I mean, I would literally see something jump behind the corner. It was peeking around or something like that.
Wow.
I don't know what it was. I mean, I'm not saying that it's for real. It might be my mind, very easily my mind playing tricks on me. Because when you're, you know, I did the same thing you did, King, when I was a kid. I watched horror movies all the time. I was always having.
Yeah, you kind of get yourself set up for
it. Yeah, and I could have manufactured these things very easily. But a lot of people, I know Doug and we've talked about shadow people a lot. A lot of people have seen the same thing, though, whether they're older or younger. There's these weird things in the corner of your eye, like you said, King.
Right. Yeah. And then just to go on a little bit, as I got older and stuff, like little things would happen here and there. Not to go into too far detail with that, but to get to where I wanted to tell you was where it really gets strange and very morbid to me is a few years ago. Like for a long time, growing up, we always lived together. My mom, me, my sister, we all lived in this huge house, and everybody ran, you know, did their own thing. I mean, as I got older and everything, I still lived at home and stuff because we had such a great relationship as a family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't beat, you know, paying rent with a couple people. We didn't own a house; we rented forever. So we had this house for about 25 years, and then finally a landlord wanted to sell this house, and we wanted to buy it, but where I live, the property is super expensive, so we couldn't live where we wanted to live. So we basically had to move out of this place. If, you know, 25 years to live, and we had to move out in maybe like a month.
Oh man!
So we were getting everything together. Everybody was so depressed in the house and stuff. And then the last night, my mom asked me, she said, "Will you just stay here while there's nothing in the house, just so that nobody comes in here and, you know, some local kids or gangs can come in here and screw shit up."
Yeah.
And I said, "Okay." So I stayed the last night there. And when I was in my house, there was nothing in there. And I kept hearing something calling my name in the attic.
Mm-hmm.
I kept hearing this Kingsley. And I just kept that in my mind. I was like, right. And then I could hear this voice telling me to stay in the house, to never leave this house.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of weird. Okay, now this is a build up to what I'm getting to. So anyway, so we moved on to a house about 2 miles away to rent it. Okay, same setup. Everybody's still living together.
Yeah.
Well, we lived there about a year, and I kept feeling uneasy in this house, this new house. I don't know if it's because I lived in one place for so long or not. But one night I was up real late because I'm the kind of guy that I sleep all day and stay up all night.
Yeah.
So it was about 4 a.m. and I heard my mother scream.
Mm.
My mom was on the downstairs floor of the house, and we were all on the upstairs part of the house. Well, I went downstairs, and I went in my mom's room, and it was 4 o'clock in the morning, and she was sound asleep, and I was thinking, well, that was definitely my mom screaming.
Mm-hmm.
So I turn around to go back up the stairs, and I see my front doorknob turning. And I said, what the hell is this, right? So I kind of got freaked out. I looked at it. I just kind of thought about it twice. I went up the stairs. I turned back because in the house I was in, my stairs were exactly in front of the front door. Like, if you open the front door, you could just walk right up the stairs.
Yeah, back to the floor.
Okay? So I get to the top of the stairs. I see the doorknob turning some more, and I said, man, I better go to bed. I'm tired. So the next day I tell my mom, I said, you know what, you know, did you scream last night? And then my mom, jokester like me and stuff, she was like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. She's just laughing, and I'm laughing. I'm like, come on, seriously, Mom, did something? She goes, no, I'm serious. And I didn't know whether to believe her or not. So that night, the same thing happened again. About 3:30 in the morning, I'm up, and I hear the thing. And now I'm thinking my mind's playing with my head, and I'm hearing it because I heard it last night.
Mm-hmm.
I go back downstairs. I actually wake my mom up this time. She's like, she's like, I'm sleeping. I didn't scream. And when I'm saying screaming, I mean like as if somebody's smashing her head in with a bat. You know what I'm saying? Somebody's in the house going nuts.
Well, it's a painful type scream. I mean, something is,
exactly okay. like I'm in trouble.
Mm.
So I come out of the room again, and I start going back upstairs, and I go to the top of the stairs, and we had a little dog, and the dog's not barking, nothing's going on. I'm wondering what the hell is going on.
Mm-hmm.
I look down. I see the doorknob turning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm ready to walk down the stairs, and this was kind of door that had the little window thing on. You know, we had a little curtain where you could open up and see who's outside the door. But
I hate those things. I hate those things, King.
Exactly. Exactly. You don't want to look on that, you know. So I just said, you know, I'm going to go to bed, okay? The next day, my mom comes home from work, and she goes, why'd you wake me up last night? I said, Mom, now she thinks it's like 2 days running. She's like, you're getting crazy on me. She's like, this thing's just eating at your mind. Well, my brother comes in. She had picked him up from work, and he comes in. He goes, well, guess what happened to me last night? I said, what? And he goes, I was sleeping, and something came on the speakers and said that death is here.
Whoa.
And it was just coming out of the speakers in the house.
Was he in his room?
Yeah, he said that he heard death is here, and he said it freaked him out. It woke him out of his sleep because it was so loud. And I said, well, I didn't hear it. And he said, I heard it. And he said, I'm telling you, I heard it. So now I'm either thinking everybody in this house is running jokes on each other,
yeah,
or something's really happening.
Yeah.
So I sit down and explain to my mom just what I'm hearing and just what went on the last night. So now I'm in the detail about it. And I go over and I say, you know what? I said, the weirdest thing, Mom, is that the front doorknob is turning.
Mm.
She said, what do you mean? And I said, that doorknob's turning. So I walk over to the front door and I open it. I said, well, it's like somebody's trying to come in the house. And she said, well, that's weird. So I go up and open the front door, and the next thing that really gave me the first chill was that I realized for the first time that my front door to that house didn't have a turn knob on the outside. It had a push down.
Oh.
So basically you push your thumb on and push down, so there's no way somebody's turning the knob from the outside. Somebody's turning the knob from the inside.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, so my mom was like, now that, she said, oh, that's spooky to me. And I said, yeah. I said, you know, this is weird, because if you on the outside, you push it down, nothing happens, you open the door and come in. From the inside going out, you turn the knob to go out of the house.
Mm.
So we're all freaked out. And my mom said, well, we're talking about this kind of stuff, I want to tell you something. I said, what's that? She said, about 2 weeks ago, I was sitting in this living room, and I was watching we have a big screen TV. She said, I was watching the big screen TV, and she said, all of a sudden, this big thing, she said, it looked like a halo of flies. She said a big thing, a halo and flies, came across the room in front of the TV from the front door, went across the thing, and went into her room.
Mm.
This is what she told me. And I said, really? And I said, well, what's that all about? And she said, I think it was death. And my mom said this. She goes, I think it was death. She goes, I think it was the Reaper.
Well, okay. You said it looked like a halo of flies or something?
She said it looked like a halo of flies. She said it was like almost like a swarm of bees or a halo of flies. Right? And I said, well, that's odd. So we kind of dropped it. We kind of laughed about it, and we went on, okay? Well, this happened. This was a Friday. I can tell you it was May 2nd, 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, the next day was my brother's birthday. We went to New Jersey to play a show with one of my bands, my other band, October 31.
Yeah,
we took my brother for his birthday. He went with us, okay? We mm-hmm. played the show. We stayed the night. We came back Sunday. When we came back Sunday, my mom was sick. Very sick, like with the flu.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom's never sick. So Monday comes around, my mom rolls off to work, and I'm worried about her because she's pretty bad off. You know, she never misses work. She always would go to work. She comes home from work, and she doesn't seem herself.
Mm-hmm.
She seems like she's like kind of out of it. And I told her, I said, are you okay? I said, you seem sicker than when you usually get sick.
Yeah, yeah.
She goes, I'm okay. So she goes to bed. Well, Tuesday I wake up, my mom's car's home. My mom never misses work. So it's like, it's noon. And I'm looking around, and I'm like, wow, my mom didn't go to work. So I go downstairs to talk to her, when my mom's acting a little bit funny, and I'm thinking, something's odd here. Something's going on here. This is Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
and we try to talk to my mom. Well, my mom starts acting very funny.
Mm-hmm.
So she was slurring her words. She won't eat and stuff. And she's like, I'm sick as a dog. And then she calls her boss and tells her I'm not coming into work Wednesday. And we're like thinking, this. My mom used to be the kind of person who would go to work and puke in a bucket rather than miss work.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's how my mom was. You know. So okay. So anyway, so that next day I start telling the people in the house and stuff, my brother and stuff, and some friends, and like, we need to call somebody to come here and see my mom because something's wrong. We need to call a doctor. She's telling us, don't do this. I'm okay. Well, she gets to the point where she's so bad, she starts slurring her words. She's not getting out of bed at all.
Mm-hmm.
So we call emergency people. They come there, and they tell us that my mom's sick and that they think that she has diabetes. And, you know, because her blood sugar's real high, but she's never had diabetes her whole life.
Yeah.
And they said, well, she refuses to get treatment, so we cannot take her. It's against the law for us to take her without her consent.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, well, what can we do? Because she's obviously sick, and I think she's like, she may have had a stroke or something, I'm telling them. And they said, well, you have to get this lady to come here, the, you know, this company to come here, and they make an evaluation that your mother's not, you know, okay to make her own decision.
Yeah, and not in her right mind. Yeah.
Exactly. So we call this lady. She comes there, and she says, no, your mom's okay. She's not too far gone that she can't make her own calls. So she leaves. Then I call the lady because I'm freaking out of my mind. It's my mom.
Oh, yeah.
I tell her. I say, you know, I tell her straight up. I said, you know, my mom can't make decisions. You got to do something to blood sugar, this and that. She comes back, and she takes him. Let's just go to the hospital. Okay, so we take her to the hospital. They come back and get her. We figure it's diabetes. They say she's going to be fine. It's just diabetic shock. It's, you know, your mom now is a diabetic. You're going to know this.
Mm.
Well, the next day we go to the hospital, and it turns out my mom has a severe infection. I mean, to the point where it'll kill you. And we're like, this is the craziest damn thing. And then to keep the story sort of short, within 13 days, my mom died from a very rare, infection type of disease, a necrotizing fasciitis. It's,
okay.
It's a flesh-eating infection.
Oh, my God.
Thing. Yeah. And they don't know what gave it to her. They don't know how she got it. Nothing. My mom passed away that quick, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we're blown away. Obviously, it's the whole house is torn up. So we don't know what we're going to do now because we can't all afford to rent this house without my mom there too. So immediately I talked to the landlord. I said, we got to move quick. We don't have money to stay here. You know, my mom's died. A lot of our money's in the funeral, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
He tells us, okay. He says, well, stay there till the end of the month, you know, and then you can get your stuff out and stuff. So, okay. So we all decide we're going to go here, go there. We're finding our places we're going to stay. Mm-hmm. The last night I'm there, I'm sitting there, and all we have left is the couch in the house. I'm just sitting there for the final night, and it's me and my brother and a friend of mine. And my brother and the friend of mine are laying on the floor, and they're sleeping. It's like 3 a.m., and I'm kind of blown away because I've lost my mom.
Of course.
And I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden, what comes into my mind is I start thinking about what my mom told me about death and the Reaper, what I just told you guys the story of.
Yeah.
And then 100% to you, I tell you, right then and there, I saw the same thing my mom saw. The flies. To me, it looked like bees, kind of like a swarm of like a million bees just going across. And I'm in the living room where my mom was watching the TV, and I saw it come out of her room, go across the room, and go out the front door.
Oh, my God.
The same thing that my mom had seen.
It was like a swarm of flies
or
bees.
I don't know what it was, but it was like buzzing almost like bugs or something would do, but it was no bugs in my house like that, you know what I'm saying?
Did you ever see the movie The Green Mile?
Yes, I do know that.
Remember how when he would expel the infection?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, almost something like that. You know, it was so odd. So it leaves my house. I leave, mm-hmm. and I go and I stay with this girl I know, right? And I'm staying there. And one night, I'm laying down sleeping on her floor in her apartment, and she said that I woke up, I looked at her in my mother's voice and told her, "You're gonna have to watch my son because he has nobody to watch over him now because I have no parents."
Mm.
And she said it scared the hell out of her. She woke me up. She told me I was talking out of my mom with my mom's voice out of my mouth.
Oh my.
Like that. And then within 2 weeks after that, I was diagnosed with the blood clots and stuff.
That yeah, I heard
basically
about
tried
that.
To kill me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lung clot in my lung that almost killed me and all that stuff. And basically, I think it was the Reaper trying to come for me.
That's the reason you had to quit playing drums, too, from
exactly.
what I understand.
Exactly. I went through a lot with this blood clot stuff, but, you know, it's just the craziest thing. It's a really sad story, but it's 100% true. It's all this stuff happened, and to this day, I really believe that there's, like, you know, death knows when it's coming for you, you know, and it shows itself maybe in different ways, but for me and, you know, for my mother, exactly, that's how it showed itself.
When you were in high school and you were basically probably like most other high schoolers, invincible and your whole life is ahead of you and everything's hunky-dory and you have only one job in life and that's to go to or skip school.
Yeah.
<you know.
laughs> I was good at that job, too.
Would you have in a million billion years ever dreamed of this kind of stuff affecting you?
No, absolutely not. I was like... It's almost like you're almost like your brain is one dimensional. Then that's it. It's just like you don't have any peripheral thoughts is what I call it. They don't have any looking to the left, looking to the right. You just see what's right in front of you, and that's mm-hmm. all you see. You don't think of the future. You don't think behind you. You think of the moment.
Well, something like that. I mean, it's obviously like you said, King. It's a sad story. I mean, you know, losing your mom's a horrible thing, and you know we all feel for you on that. But at the same time, it's amazing in its own right too that all this stuff happened around you like that also,
and that you all paid attention to it.
Well, you all paid attention to
it and talked about it because that doesn't
happen. Exactly. No, yeah, definitely. I agree. I mean, I think everybody in my house would agree, except maybe my brother to agree because he's always like, oh, whatever, blah blah blah. But especially me and my mother, we always feel that there was something. You know, there's something more. There definitely is. I've always been that way. You know, there's good, there's bad, and there's in between.
Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that here and there, too, that sometimes we think that, you know, people call things demons, people call things angels, whatever you want to call them. But
right.
There is that, I think there is that gray matter we talk about a lot here, where it isn't good nor evil, it just exists.
Exactly. That's what I see a lot of, the gray matter. You know, and I look at it like, as in this, it's like, yeah, the halo of flies, we'll call it, you know, it came and that might have been the symbol of death, you know, to my mom and stuff, and I really do believe it in my eyes after I saw it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel at the same time that, like, my mom came through me to tell people to keep an eye on me that, you know, hey, there was something lurking around the corner for me, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And my family was there and got me to the hospital and stuff because I was very, 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 very sick.
I read the whole thing about that, King, and all I can say about that is, you know, you're still here, which we're all very happy for that. Let's just say that.
Yeah. You didn't, especially me.
And I know, I know you weren't able to keep playing drums, but you still do sing for Deceased and October 31st, and
right.
you're still doing what you love to do. That's what I think is the most important thing. Is you didn't stop the things you love to do. I mean, maybe
right.
you had
you
to pull
go
back.
On. You gotta look the bad guy in the eye and just say, you know, whatever. Give me your best shot.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. King, we're almost out of time here, unfortunately. But I want to say again, it's I think April 15th. You guys are playing down at
that's
Paychex.
It. Yeah, this Saturday. It's this 6 Saturday. Days from now.
Yeah, April 15th at Paychex Lounge in Hamtramck. I'm gonna be there.
That's good.
So all the people, all the guys.
That's tax day. Well,
yeah.
They have to put that off.
And I'm going
to
celebrate it by going to see the deceased.
Yeah,
right?
Come on out.
Awesome.
Get taxed.
King, hang on the line for 1 second. We're going to go to break, all right? Just hang tight, okay? Hang on for 1 second.
All right.
Yeah, we'll take a break. Coming up in the next half hour, Brian Hartnoy, he's coming on from Ghost Hunters. This is going to be
from
so cool.
Ghost Hunters and TAP.
We want to thank Keaton for coming on the show and talking to us. Tell us an amazing story.
Definitely.
We'll be right back after this.